And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Hey, by the way, tomorrow, Glynis McCants, of course, will be our guest chatter for you Coast Insiders. It starts at 8 p.m. Pacific time, and she's going to be talking about numerology and tying things in with you and your life. So make sure you're part of it. Take a little moment out of your time at 8 o'clock Pacific time. It's for an hour, and have some fun with Glynis McCants. Now, we're going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast with Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. By the way, they are ordering family members of service members in Turkey, U.S. family members, to get the heck out of there. I guess they're anticipating more problems with ISIS as we continue to bomb away at them. Okay, let's go to the phones. We've got an hour of open lines for you. You know, we do this during the week now, either on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. We would have done 2 hours of open lines for you tonight, but Robert Zimmerman wanted to stay an extra hour, and we were very happy to have him do that. So now it's just us. So let's go to the phones. Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. Let's get us started. Frank, go ahead.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you. I'm not used to being a leadoff hitter.
There you go.
I want to thank you and congratulate you for the Frank Sinatra tribute back in December.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
November marked the 8-year anniversary of my first call. Now, I know what your favorite Sinatra songs are. My favorites are Fly Me to the Moon, Strangers in the Night.
All great songs.
Autumn Wind. And, of course, My Way and New York, New York are my favorites, too. On that night, you, Mr. Dowry, it was a very exciting, his recollections of Frank Sinatra, but I think he failed to recall how he helped Joe Louis in the last years of his life, supplying a limousine for the family for a whole week, and what he did for Sammy Davis Jr., you know, the Rat Pack was doing these round robins of Vegas casinos.
Right.
And at the start of Sammy Davis Jr.'s foray into Vegas, Frank Sinatra said, look, if this man can't work here, then I don't work here.
That, no, what that's right. He stood up.
And then there was associate members that Mr. Dowry forgot to mention. The late Eddie Fisher was a part-time associate member. And do you remember the actor Henry Silva?
I do not.
Henry Silva always played a bad guy. He always played a heavy. He was a friend of Frank Sinatra, a great friend, and he was a part-time member of the Rat Pack, along with Joey Bishop, Dean Martin.
Peter Lawford was part of
Peter
that, too.
Lawford, right, I was trying to say. And the most famous song of Sinatra's My Way, written by Paul Anka, there was a funny thing. Paul Anka, a few years ago, he had an audience with none other than Vladimir Putin, and they sang My Way together. This was Putin was, Medvedev was keeping his seat warm as president
right.
of Russia. So, I really enjoyed it, and then I have a political prediction for you.
All right, go for it.
As they are now constituted, the Republican Party will not win another presidential election until the year 2032.
Wow.
Then we'll have another Bush to contend with. Jeb Bush's son, the handsome Hispanic young man, he will run for president in that year.
He might have some possibilities, too. You may be right about that, Frank, but that's fascinating. I do not believe that it is going to go to a delegate convention for the Republicans. I still think it's going to be a brokered convention. That's just my gut. My psychic gut is telling me that, and we'll find out. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Anonymous in Iowa, find out what is going on there. Hello there.
Hi, George.
Hi, Anonymous.
I'm calling with a very heavy heart tonight.
What happened?
Also on behalf of most of Iowa. We're in a lot of mourning and grief right now. I know how much you respect the police community and support them. So far this year, there have been 26 police officers killed in the line of duty.
Wow.
On Saturday, about 12:30, we lost two of our own, Des Moines' finest.
Yeah, I heard about that.
You did?
Yeah.
I'm just...
Another tragedy. Another just very sad tragedy.
Yeah, a 30-year-old female. And they were just 5 months out of the academy.
Yeah, she was relatively new. Yeah.
And he was 35. Her funeral's tomorrow. They're expecting over 2,000 officers, police, all kinds coming from as far away as Texas, Phoenix, Florida. It was awful, head-on collision. They were transporting a prisoner from the west, right across from Omaha, back to Des Moines. They were just on the outskirts of Des Moines when it was, they were on Interstate 80, traveling eastbound, and I don't know how the guy was traveling on the wrong side of the interstate, westbound.
Ugh.
Just head on his
what happened to him?
Just immediately, all of them died. All of them.
Everybody did.
He just his car went up in flames immediately, and I guess they all died instantly. So I'm just, I know all the police officers that listen to your show,
and
I'm just asking for their mass consciousness, maybe if you can get the word out, maybe, you know, for the family of the families and the loved ones of those two, all of them, really. It was just, it's just so sad, and I'm surprised you heard about it.
Yeah. I get a friend who trains police officers, so he hears all that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Anonymous. I guess she didn't want her name known, but not an easy situation. Lots of tragedies all over the place. Gosh, lots of people passing on. Patty Duke, 69 years old, from an infection, an intestinal infection that went awry, and she dies. Unbelievable. Let's go to Gary in Vancouver out there in Canada. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, hi, George. By the way, I've been listening to your station and to your show for a long time. Really enjoy it.
Thank you.
I'm actually calling tonight because I happen to have I'm a huge fan of the Bigfoot controversy. And I was reading a book not too long ago, and part of it was to do with, I believe his name, and I'm just looking at it here, is... Charles B. Pierce. I don't know if he's still alive or not, but if he is or if he's around, have you ever had him on the show? And do you know? Do you believe in the Boggy Creek creature?
There's
two films on it.
I think the Boggy Creek story is an amazing story. I don't know what that creature is. It sounds like Bigfoot, but I think it could be different. And it's been going on for some time now. I just did a Beyond Belief taping on the Boggy Creek episode, and it's not up on the system yet to watch, but it will be soon. There's some kind of creature there. I don't know what it is, but you are right. A lot of people think it could be Bigfoot related. Well, we take your text messages as well. Tom's got one back there in the LA studios. Hey, Tommy.
We do, from Tracy in West Virginia. Tax day is coming, and I wanted to know if you think we will ever see a flat tax system or at least some sort of tax reform. I work as a waitress. I work hard, and I want to keep my money.
I think we will go through some incredible tax reforms. I don't know the final shape that it will be, but something will happen. And it may be when the next administration comes in, maybe a little later. But in time, we're going to have some kind of change. I've always been a believer that Americans have been overtaxed, that they should have use of almost 100% of their money. I am not even in favor of Social Security being taken. I think people should have been able to invest it the way they wanted to, and I think they would have made more money. You know, Tom, I don't think when you get to the Social Security age,
I don't think
it's going to be there for you.
I don't think so. I think I've been putting in all this time for nothing.
It's gone. Hey, did you enjoy your little birthday present? I got a lot of emails from people who thought you did a nice job doing the last segment of Open Line.
Thank you. I did. This audience is so wonderful. I mean, really, and to have that kind of fun to talk to them and just get the chance to do that is a lot of fun, yes.
That was neat.
It was.
Okay. Happy birthday again to you. Tom Danheiser, yeah, for his birthday present last week and a half ago, we gave him an opportunity to do a couple open lines at the end of the night, and he really enjoyed that. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Mark in Maryland. Welcome to the show, Mark. What do you got for us?
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my telephone call.
Sure thing.
I have just one simple question. I mean, first of all, your long form segment with Mr. Zimmerman was fantastic.
Thanks.
And you know, over the course of your career, obviously, you've spoken to many, many giants in all kinds of fields of study. So my simple question is this: in your own view, when do you think that any man will finally leave low Earth orbit?
Low Earth orbit?
Yeah, again, you know, like the Apollo program.
You mean beyond the Apollo program? Oh, I think it's going to happen within the next...
Earth gravity, you know.
Five to ten years.
All we've been doing is orbiting around the Earth. We haven't broken past its gravitational pull. You know, do you ever think, you know...
Oh, well, no, you don't think we went to the moon?
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
I definitely know. Yeah, I think we went to the moon, absolutely. And I'm just wondering, when are we going to do it again?
I would guess 5 to 10 years. That's my guess. It'll happen. Private companies will do it. Don't expect NASA to do it.
No, because he was right. The Space Launch System, it's been going at like a snail's pace.
I also think, sadly, that some other country might beat us to the punch again. We had this incredible 50-year dominance, and we gave it up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it always seems like Mars is always 20 years away.
I know it. I want to see it in my lifetime. You too, don't you?
Oh, yeah. The president said he wanted to see it in his lifetime. He initiated some kind of program. And then at the end, he said, you know, I expect to see it in my lifetime. And the president and I are about the same age. And so if he wants to see it in his lifetime, I guess I got a shot.
My highlight has been the opportunity to have met astronauts who have been on the moon. Buzz Aldrin, I met him. Edgar Mitchell, the late Edgar Mitchell, met him. I never had a chance to meet John Glenn, who, of course, has not been on the moon, but he was the first American to orbit the planet back there a long time ago in the 60s. Never had a chance to meet the late Neil Armstrong, the first man on the moon. That would have been a treat, too. What's so fascinating to me is, you know, we landed on the moon in 1969. We're coming up on the 47th anniversary in July. And there are so many younger kids that, you know, they've been born in the 80s or the 90s. And they just don't know these things. They don't. I mean, heck, most of you probably were alive when Kennedy was killed in 63. The things we've been through, absolutely astounding. We've got a Christopher in Diamond Bar, California now. Hey, Christopher, go ahead.
Hi, George. I'm really glad to be on the show tonight.
Hi there.
Hi, I wanted to talk about aliens because I believe in aliens. You know, I believe that there are aliens out there.
Do you think they're with us right now?
You know, yes, I do, actually. I believe that there is possibly a movement going on, moving us toward the next step closer to this alien movement. I believe that there's a Zionist movement leading us toward that.
Now, when you talk about aliens and that they're here, what do you think their plan is, their agenda?
Well, I personally believe the agenda is the Zionist agenda to get the people to believe aliens, to believe this whole alien intervention with a one-world government to start. And with this alien intervention, I'm sorry, I'm so nervous right now. I'm so glad to be on the show.
That's all right.
I believe that maybe these aliens could be mistaken for something else, maybe even possibly demonic. Or
some people think that.
Possibly demon.
Some people think that, indeed, that aliens are demons. That they're not benevolent creatures from other planets, but actual demons from wherever demons come from. And they're out there somewhere. But thanks for the call, Christopher, and glad you made it on the program. Corey is truck driving in Tennessee. Hello, Corey.
Good morning. It's Corey, C-O-Y, not O-R in it.
All right, there you go.
And, is this George?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you sound different on the phone.
No, it's me.
We're about the same age, both ex-Navy.
Ah.
Next time you get with the ancient astronauts, I'd like you to ask one question.
All right, what would that be?
Who told the Greeks and the Romans and the Egyptians about Mars, Mercury, Jupiter? You know, it's all through mythology. But, you know, before Galileo, everything rotated around the Earth. Who told them that they were planets?
Now, we know that answer. You know it, and I know it, don't we?
Oh, heavens, yes. I've seen UFOs out there north of Hawthorne, Nevada, and
Well, the big story lately has been this huge triangular-shaped object near Russia that people have reported seeing. It's all over the place. You can go to our website too and search that, or just Google search it: triangular-shaped object in Russia. We're going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with more open line phone calls. And don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, if you would, because lots of people are doing that. Instagram, too. We'll be back. Well, I'm going to be in Cincinnati in a few weeks. Major event there. Come on out. Full information at coasttocoastam.com under our highlights reel. It'll be a great time in Cincinnati. And welcome back to Coast. Our next program, by the way, this will just give you an idea of what it's all about. Forbidden Knowledge, Revelations of a Multidimensional Time Traveler. So we're going to have a little fun on that one. Okay, let's go back to the phones now, though. Let's go to John in Tallahassee, Florida. Hey, John, good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
George, how's it going?
Okay, hope you are too. Well?
Well, yeah, great. I just had a little inspirational piece. First of all, hey, happy birthday, Tommy D.
Yeah, here he is. He turned 90. Good for him, huh?
That's hilarious. We spend our lives on hold, don't we? Anyway.
Oh, we sure do. Or in traffic.
Yeah, at least. Well, I wanted to say, whoever designed the latest Australian coat of arms used two animals, the kangaroo and the emu. The kangaroo, of course, has a tail because of its length, does not allow it to back up, and in order to stay the course, it has to execute a U-turn And the emu, because of the shape of his feet, has no choice but to keep the same course and move forward. You know, it's all about moving forward. It's a genius design, the Australian coat of arms, don't you think?
I never thought of it.
Well, yeah, it's just an inspirational thought.
What made you think of that?
Well, my brother, and thanks for family. You gotta love family.
Oh yeah.
He sends me these inspirational pieces, and it's just one of those things about moving forward and staying the course. You know, it's kind of along the lines of kind of a self-help thing. You know, Homer and Vincent Peale, and the Think and Grow Rich. You know.
Well, you know what? That's something I just never thought about. But you're right about family. As a matter of fact, I've been back in St. Louis for only 1 week now, and I've already seen my 6 grandchildren and my 3 kids, and it's worth it. It's worth coming back just to see that. And the grandchildren, they range from 21, Ari will be 22 in June, but 21 down to 4, Charlotte, Charlie we call her, that's what she wants to be called. And she's something else. 4 years old, as smart as a button. But they saw me for the first time in like 3 months, and just went crazy. And it's a great feeling. Let's go to Taylor in Austin, Texas. Hi, Taylor. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Chad?
Good. How about you?
All right, man. Hey, we got something in common, man. I want to say this right quick, and I'm going to get off the phone.
Okay.
Hey, man, I like a lot of scary movies, too. I love horror movies, you know.
Me, too. Me, too. And I love those bats in Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of them. I try to stay away from them, you know, because they might accidentally come over there and give me a nibble on me. You know? Hey, I wanted to ask you, man, I want to know what planet can a human survive on?
The only one I know is good old planet Earth. Now, I'm sure there are other planets out there that are similar, that have the same kind of atmosphere and oxygen levels and the star that is close to them like our sun is, but I don't know which ones they are. So right now, I'd say it's just good old planet Earth. Tommy, what do you got for us? Our final text of the night.
First, I was listening to you, and I have to ask you something. Do all your grandkids call you Grandpa?
They call me Papa. Papa George.
I was chuckling when you were telling your story, because I don't think of you as a grandpa.
Well, you don't have to call me just Papa. It's something that we won't require back.
You're not a grandpa,
but that's what they
actually
call me. But you know what? It's a great name.
Sure.
For little kids.
Absolutely. Jerome in Utah, he says, hey, George, I know you guys are animal lovers like I am, and I wanted to know your opinion of people that hunt for sport.
Well, let me tell you something. My son hunts for food and sport. I don't. I don't know where he got it, because I'm not a hunter. But I think hunting is fine for people who understand the boundaries of hunting, that they're there to also cull out populations. You know, here's an example, Tom. Sometimes the deer herd gets too big, and they're going to die. They're going to starve. And sometimes culling them out, hunting them, is a more humane thing to do, believe it or not. And if people eat them, you know, eat deer meat. I'm not a fan of deer meat. But have you ever had deer meat?
No, but I've had other exotic meats.
Well, we talked about
those
strange foods last
week.
But I don't think people should go out willy-nilly and just shoot and kill just for fun.
But that's kind of like what hunting is for sport.
Well, I think if you hunt for food, it's different.
Right, but this question is for
sport. I mean, the head of a lion or a boar, I've never been into that. I don't like it.
No. Well, this question says hunt for sport.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
A couple weeks ago, I got a call from somebody on Open Lines who gave us the story, a tragic story of a little dog who had its paws blown off by a shotgun by some sick person whom I hope they find and put in jail. But I want to do, because they were doing some kind of Kickstarter campaign, I want to do a fundraiser for the dog. But you have an update for me. What are they doing with the dog? What's happening?
The dog is stable. He is going to need, and they're going to give him a prosthesis paw.
And it's just one paw or both of them?
Just one paw. But he can't move right now because they don't have it on yet. And they've raised $7,000 so far. That's not nearly enough. So I got off the phone with them today, and they're figuring some things out. And hopefully on Friday, we can kind of announce a little fundraiser that we can do to help the dog. The trucker that called in that night, he is in the process of hopefully adopting the dog.
Great. But now let me ask you this. With the fundraiser, we don't have the mechanism to raise the funds and all that. So I hope they do that.
They do all of that.
The Humane Society is going to do all that.
It's going to be a real quick tell people what to do.
So we'll get them on the phone. We'll tell them where it is, and we'll bombard it, and we'll do our thing.
Yeah, we'll put the little cute guy up on the website so people can see him, and, you know, we'll save him.
And now what's going on with catching the guy who did this?
The police are in an active investigation trying to find this guy.
All right. Hopefully we'll have updates. When are we going to do all this?
Well, we're hoping to get it done by Friday. They're going to call me tomorrow and give me an update.
Speaking of Friday, you remember last year I literally made history by being the only person to interview a three-headed person.
I do indeed. I was right here in the studio looking at him.
I cannot tell you everything. I will do it on Friday. But they're going to be back.
They are coming back?
They're coming back Friday. There's a major story connected
with it. Don't give much more, George.
I'm not. There's a major story connected with it. And, well, people just tune in. It is the most remarkable story of Raquel, Walter, and Bobo, three-headed person.
Ever.
That I've ever seen. And they were in the studio, folks. We had a picture of them up on the coasttocoastam.com website.
Amazing.
And, you know, I've heard of two-headed people. I've never heard of three-headed people until we found them last year. And I believe they live in Indianapolis. They work at a large retail store. And they're coming back on Friday. We've got a major story, and we'll talk about that.
They'll be here.
Okay, thanks. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Rebecca in Oklahoma. Hello, Rebecca.
Good evening, George. And
you
I've got
too.
A nice, quick little story to tell.
Okay.
My father and the astronaut Jim Lovell were lifelong friends.
Really?
And they went to school all through the elementary, junior high, high school, college. And Jim went to the Navy. My dad went to the Marine Corps once they got out of school. And every Christmas, we got the coolest NASA Christmas card from Jim Lovell. Wrote wonderful things. And the year of Apollo 13... that Christmas card came, and he wrote wonderful things, and then the bad things happened.
Yeah.
And we were on pins and needles, and my dad passed a few years ago. I would give anything to know how to reach Mr. Lovell, Captain Lovell, and tell him that my dad, his dear friend, had passed. And well, I've done everything. I've looked on Facebook, everywhere to see where I could possibly find any kind of contact with Captain Lovell.
This is what you do. But, this is how you start.
Okay.
Call NASA in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Ask for the public relations section.
Okay.
And tell them your story. They know how to get a hold of him. And,
alrighty then.
And that's how you'll start.
Well, that is most excellent. That is the most helpful news I've heard yet. That's excellent, George. I thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Any public relations officer, Rebecca, who is worth their weight is going to hear that story and know about the lifelong friendship, and they're going to get a hold of Jim Lovell. Even if they send him an email and say, so-and-so called me from Oklahoma, do you know so-and-so? You know what? That's all you need. You just need that initial contact.
And that, oh boy, that is so helpful. That is the most farthest I've ever gotten in hearing any kind of way to reach Captain Lovell at all. And in the end of the movie, when Tom Hanks, as Captain Lovell, walks off and gets off on the carrier, and he shakes the hand of an officer, an older officer there, that is Jim Lovell.
Oh, that's right. No, you're right. I remember that.
That's
classic
the man
movie.
Himself.
And Tom Hanks is a great actor, isn't he?
Oh, he can't do any wrong by my book, no.
I love that. You know what? That's the one I want to have on the show. I mean, I would like two people that I've tried to interview. Stephen King, he just doesn't want to do radio. But I would love to have Tom Hanks when I get back to Los Angeles in the studio. Tom, if you're listening, want to get you on Coast to Coast and just talk for an hour or two about your career and your thoughts and your views and take some phone calls. I think that would be great. He's super. I mean, Robert Davi comes in all the time. I just saw Robert Davi on Fox News reacting to the Republican primaries. I mean, so he's doing a lot of stuff beyond just acting and singing Frank Sinatra songs. Steve, in the state of Washington, it's your turn, Stephen, and welcome to Coast to Coast.
Well, hi, George. How are you today?
Good, Stephen. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to second the, I really enjoyed your previous guest, and I've listened to him before, and sometimes I kind of take him as, he was interesting, but yet he was so close-minded to the possibilities of, aliens and extraterrestrials. But tonight I really enjoyed him, and I just wanted to tell you thank you.
Well, good, thanks. He's a good guest. I mean, he's very pragmatic and down to earth, where a lot of my other guests will, let their minds wander about the possibilities. But he sounds like he's starting to at least simply think about it. He's looking for evidence, but he's coming our way a little bit at a time.
Yeah, because I just don't see how he cannot acknowledge at least the possibility that some of these things exist. I mean, I personally believe that we do have a secret space program. I mean, I listen to most of your shows, and you've got some interesting guests. And I'm not saying that everybody is 100% and what they're reporting is 100% accurate, but wow. I mean, some of the possibilities are just mind-shattering. And I believe like Lockheed has the Skunk Works, and they produce different craft that this world. And so, for him to kind of say there's nothing, no possibilities, he wants to see the proof. I have to hand it to you. You are an excellent interviewer, and you never ever show impartiality on your part, and you let the persons speak their mind, and you don't influence their decisions. But I think that you think kind of like I do, which is the fact that I think there's something out there. I think there's, we have a space program. We have ships that go to God knows where, but I believe they're out there. And I think you believe that as well. And I hate to put you on the spot a little bit, but is that true? I mean, you kind of believe it, don't you?
Oh, sure. And I also think that there is a face on Mars. Something's there.
And you had a guest. I don't think you were the host that night, but you had a guest here a couple months ago that talked about the fact that they recovered minerals on Mars or taken samples that showed that there was plutonium. And plutonium is a man-made element. It's not a natural occurring element. So that means that there was some sort of nuclear holocaust on Mars, and they're saying maybe up to 500 million years ago. And so there probably was some sort of life on Mars at one point, sometime in our distant past.
Exactly. And, just to point out what you've just said, this show is not confrontation. We could do that if we had to, but it's just not. I mean, it gets nothing done. The name of the show is Coast to Coast, and we want to get information from the guest and let you make up your own minds whether you think he's whacked out or whether he's telling the truth or whether he's right on. And so I'm not going to sit there and argue with Robert Zimmerman about the existence of UFOs and this and that. That's not what it's all about. I want to hear his thoughts. I want to hear thoughts of people like Stanton Friedman when they talk about UFOs. That's what makes the show, I think, exciting, entertaining. We get knowledge from it rather than having the host interject his personal views all the time, interrupting. I'm not going there. I'm just not going to do that. I've never done that. And thank God I don't have to. Do we have time for another call? Probably not. I've only got about a minute left, which gives me some time to... well, let's just have Mike in Ohio. Mike, I don't have time for you, but would you say good night for everybody for me?
Hey, good night, everybody. Good night. And you all have a wonderful week, George. Maybe I'll see you Saturday in Cincinnati.
That's right. I'd love to see you. Jim in Columbus, Ohio. Jim, say good night to everybody for me.
Hey, good night to all of you, everybody. Have a great day.
Hi, Bob in Pocatello, Idaho. Bob, say good night. Bob has already said good night. How about Jim in Tennessee? Jim, say goodnight to everybody for us.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Jim. And those of you who are on hold, we'll have open lines on Friday as well. I'm going to have 3 hours of open lines after my special interview, again, with the three-headed person. That'll be remarkable. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.